Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I say every week, I'll say it again, that if you ever desire a copy of our program, all you need to do is write to us, include the date of the program that you desire. And whenever you do, then write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, today we begin a new journey. And Lord, as we do, I pray your blessing upon it. Might it be used by you. Father, we'll be in this, if our Lord tarries, we'll be in this for a couple years in this study. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts through this. And Lord, just use it all. Use every one of them to accomplish your will, your purpose. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 1. We are going to begin a brand new journey today. We are going to work our way through the book of Revelation, and that is going to take us quite some time. Going to take a couple years, as a matter of fact, to get through this study. I had just finished it up at the church, and so I thought it would be great to bring it back to the radio program because of things that are going on in our world that will tie right in with this as we look at the book of Revelation. So let me get you to somewhat of an introduction today. We're not going to get very far in the letter, but let me get you to an introduction. There are a lot of people who believe that we should never attempt to study the book of Revelation because they say that it's much too difficult to understand. One of my friends years ago told me that his pastor told his church that he would never preach any messages from the book of Revelation. He told them that this book was impossible for anyone to understand. And this is why many people view the book of Revelation as difficult today for that very reason. That's the way they view it, that it's too hard to understand. But as we move through our study of this letter, we're going to see that as believers, we can understand this letter, and the message here is of great importance. Let me just say this. Some people say it's far too mysterious. You know, boy, we can't understand that. Well, you know, really, if you stop and you think about it, that is contrary to the title of the book. It's called Revelation. It is a revelation. It is not a mystery, so to speak. It's not mysterious. It's not difficult to understand. It's a revelation that is given to us. And just in the title alone, we know that God would have us to study this letter. Now, before we get into our study today, I want to help you with a few thoughts about what is behind the movement to avoid this letter. You know, why is it? Why is it that so many people were frightened of this letter? Why is it that there are churches that will not deal with this letter? And if I could say it for what it is, I'm going to, that it is a satanic movement. And I'm going to back that up here in a moment. Satan does not want us to study this book for many reasons. We'll touch on all of them as we work our way through the book. But one of the reasons is because the book tells of his end and his destruction. And he doesn't want us to know that and to understand that. He doesn't want us to understand that he will lose. Revelation 20:10 says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So there's his destruction, and we'll get into that in detail, and that's going to be a long way down the road. But this is one of the reasons why he convinces many people to avoid the book, because it tells of his destruction. It also tells of the eternal comfort of the believer. Revelation 21:1-4, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. So you have in the book of Revelation, you have the destruction of Satan, and you have the eternal rest of the believer. So those are two reasons why Satan does not want us to study this letter. And there's more to it. There is far more to it than that. But what he does, he steers people away, causes them to be fearful of this. I'm telling you, we don't have to be fearful of the book of Revelation. It is not some mysterious book that is impossible to understand. It is called Revelation. God gives a revelation, an understanding of the end time events. Listen to me. Some people will not study prophecy. They stay away from prophecy and say, we don't need that. Well, let me give you a problem with that. With that rationalization. A problem is that a quarter, 25% of the Bible is made up of prophecy. So if you're gonna avoid prophecy, you're gonna avoid 25% of God's word. That's a chunk. One fourth of God's word, you're setting aside and saying that we don't really need that. It's ridiculous. We do need it. We need to understand. Let me give you something else to think about. You and I need to understand this book of Revelation so as not to be led astray by false teachers. Let me give you an example. You remember years ago down in Waco, Texas, you remember a guy by the name of David Koresh? And you remember the followers that followed with David Koresh? Do you know what he used to lure them in? Do you know what he did? Do you know what scripture that he twisted? He twisted the seal judgments, starting in Revelation chapter 6, which led all those people down the wrong path. You see what I'm saying? We need this letter. We need to understand this. And you're going to find this to be very interesting as we go through it. Let me get you to the first point today, the theme of the letter. Watch 1:1. It says, the revelation, there's that title again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. By the way, this is one of my favorite studies as we work our way through the book of Revelation. And being my second journey through this in the last couple of years, it gets me rooted down deeper in it. So you'll probably detect that there'll be enthusiasm as we go through this, and that's okay. But let me get you back to 1:1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. John opens a letter by presenting the theme in the very first line. He tells us that this is the book of Revelation. This is a very interesting word. As I said, many people have been convinced that the book is far too difficult to understand because there are secret truths that are hidden within the pages. But as we step into this letter, we can see that it's not a book of hidden truths, but it's a book of revelation again. This is the word which we get our word apocalypse from. And the word apocalypse means to unveil. Unveil, that's what it means. A disclosure of truth. So the book is not hiding anything, but it's an unveiling of the truth, and God wants us to know it. Now, at our church, we studied the book of James, and we were able to see that James had many parallels. If you study the book of James, he has many parallels with the Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Revelation, we're going to see that John will present many parallels with Matthew 24 and 25, which is the Olivet Discourse. Now, let me get you back to the fact that this book is a revelation, not a mystery, not a book of hidden truths. It is a revelation. In this study, we shall see that the book will reveal many spiritual truths which were veiled in the Old Testament. So this will be an unveiling of that which was previously hidden. Now, there is not one direct quote from the Old Testament, but there are many parallels with the Old Testament. Listen to the words of one Bible teacher. He says this, "It," being the book of Revelation, "contains more than 500 allusions to the Old Testament, and 278 of the 404 verses in Revelation, that is almost 70%, make some reference to the Old Testament," unquote. Isn't that interesting? 278 of the 404 verses, 70% make a reference to the Old Testament. Watch 1:1 again. Let me read it all. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." As we continue to read, we see that John tells us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I believe, and there's a couple different views on this, but I'll back up what I'm going to tell you here. I believe this book, this means the book is from Jesus Christ. Some teach the book is about Jesus Christ. And in a sense, the book is about Jesus Christ. He's the central figure of the entire scriptures. Okay, but I think the meaning here is that it is from Jesus Christ. Watch the verse again. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass." So it's from God the Father to God the Son, to be given to the servants, delivered also by the angels. So it is a book from Jesus Christ. It was given to him from the Father. He's now going to pass it on to the servants. But let me go back to the fact that in a sense, it is a book about Jesus Christ. For listen, and this is you're going to find this interesting. It presents him in a way that we only get glimpses of in the Gospels. In the Gospels, we can see glimpses of Jesus Christ in his glory, but they are only short glimpses. Matthew 17:1-2, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transformed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." Here's a glimpse of Jesus in his glory, but it's only a short glimpse. His glory was veiled. His glory is also seen in the miracles which he performed. John 11:40-44 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that thou shouldest believe, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid." This is the raising of Lazarus, by the way. "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Here is one such case where we're able to see the glory of Jesus Christ whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead. But there's even more to consider here. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. The last time the world was able to see Jesus Christ, he was hanging on a cross, suffering for the sins of the entire world. But here in Revelation, we shall see the next time the world sees Jesus, it will be in all of his glory. As he returns at the end of the tribulation to set up his kingdom, listen to what the Old Testament says, Isaiah 45:23. "I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, Listen to how Paul worded that in Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2:9-11. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So now listen to me. We're going to see that fulfilled in this book, in the book of Revelation. We're going to see the fulfillment of that. So in a sense, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ, because the last time the world seen him, he was hanging on a cross, dying for their sins. When the world sees him again, and all the world will see him, he will be coming in all of his glory with his holy angels, with his bride, you and I, Jesus, well, you and I, the church. He will be coming in all of his glory. So in a sense, the book is a revelation of Jesus Christ, or about Jesus Christ. But I think verse 1, the idea is it's a revelation from Jesus Christ. This truth was given to him from the Father, and now he's going to deliver it to John. Let me get you to the source and to the recipients of the book now. Watch 1:1 again, if you would. Here's what it says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. He sent, signified it by his angel unto his servant, John. The revelation was given to Jesus Christ so that it could be given unto his servants. And the word servants here means bond slaves, or one who gives himself up to another's will, that those will, those whose service is used by Christ extending and advancing his cause among men. So a servant is somebody surrendered over to the Lord. So ultimately it is given for the believers. Let me just say, okay, and this is going to make some sense to you. This is why the world around us struggles with the contents of the book. Okay, people that don't even go to church, people that are not even saved, they will make statements like, that book is far too difficult. That book is too mysterious. That book is inaccurate. And so they'll put their own twist, their own adjective on that. But right here, let me just say this. This book is not for the world. This book is for believers today. Believers only. The verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, not unto all the world. It's not for the world. It's for you and I that know Christ as Savior. The unsaved world will never begin to get their minds wrapped around this letter, because the unsaved world could not understand the spiritual things of God. Let me just tell you, a lot of the things that are going on in our world today are taking us toward the events of this book. But just stand up sometime and announce that, and people look at you like they just saw a flying saucer or something. They look at you like, what planet are you from? What are you talking about? They don't get it. You want to know why? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're not going to understand a book, because you got to be spiritual. You got to be spiritually alive. You got to be born again to be able to grasp on to what is in this book. Let me get you to the third point, the contents of the book. There is just so much here for us to look at. But watch 1:1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The book of Revelation contains the things which must shortly come to pass. Just a few thoughts here I want to point out to you. The word must is very significant here. They must come to pass. That's what it says. Remember, I told you that this book parallels Matthew 24 and 25. Okay, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 6. And I'll just cut you right in on this verse. He says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass." Must, just like here. "To show unto a servant the things which must shortly come to pass." Jesus said they must. Here's the point. The events within the book of Revelation are terrible beyond anything that we can begin to imagine. Matthew 24, 23 says, "For then shall be tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Beyond anything that we can begin to imagine, but let me just say this, they're necessary because they are part of God's plan. This is not a time when things are out of control. Don't think that as we go through the book. God's always in control. And the events of this book must come to pass so as to set the stage for the millennial kingdom. Something else I want to comment on here is the meaning of the word shortly. A lot of people get confused about that. "To show unto a servant things which must shortly come to pass." The word shortly is misunderstood. It really means with swiftness. There have been many critics who have pointed to the word and claimed that Jesus was inaccurate with his words. They believe the word refers to a short period of time, and they say, well, here we are some 2,000 years later. 2,000 years have passed and nothing's happened, so John must have been inaccurate with what he wrote. They're mistaken. It means they will come with swiftness. In other words, it means this. When the events of this book begin to unfold, starting in Revelation chapter 6, with the seal judgments, when they begin to unfold, they're going to unfold rapidly. They're going to unfold like hammer blows. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments are going to happen rapidly once they start at God's appointed time. That's the idea. Let me give you the means of communication here. Point number 4. 1:1 says this: "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." He signified it. The word signified could read signified. The idea is that revelation is the revelations of this book were given to John using signs and symbols. But you got to be careful with that. We cannot spiritualize the symbols. We got to use the Bible to interpret what they are. We got to take this book literally, and that's the way that we're going to look as we go through this book, not symbolically. The accurate way to interpret this letter is literally, and that's what we are going to do. 5, the testimony of John, watch verse 2, "who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw." Okay, so John says 3 things. The book is the word of God. The book came from Jesus Christ, and John was an eyewitness to all that he recorded. Listen to Deuteronomy 19:25. It says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of 2 witnesses or at the mouth of 3 witnesses shall the matter be established." In the Old Testament, nothing was to be believed unless there were 2 or 3 witnesses. Paul carries the same idea in 2 Corinthians 13, 1, whenever he says this, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established." So it took 2 or 3 witnesses to prove a testimony to be true. John presents 3 witnesses here to affirm this book is 100% accurate. He points to the testimony of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and himself. Watch verse 2, "who bear record of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw." Okay, so you have the testimony of God the Father, you have the testimony of Jesus Christ the Son, and you have the testimony of John and what he saw. So some people say, well, this isn't accurate. Sure it is, and God makes sure that there are 3 witnesses that testify to the accuracy of this book. Let me give you one more thing, because I'm running out of time. The blessed promise, watch verse 3, okay? Blessed is he that readeth and they that heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This verse makes this book very unique. It's the only book that promises a blessing to both the student believer, and to the teacher. That's another reason why Satan doesn't want us to study the book. He doesn't want us to have the blessings of God in our life. But God promises, verse 3 again, blessed is he that readeth and they that heareth the words of this prophecy. Okay, a blessing to the teacher and a blessing to the believing student. Both of them are from God. So you see, that's why Satan doesn't want us in a book. Don't let somebody keep you from that. I hope you stay tuned in to our study as we go through this, because we are in for a long journey. We're in for a long journey, but it will be a time of great blessings as we work our way through the book of Revelation. It is not a book of hidden truths. It is not a book of mysteries that cannot be understood. It is a book of revelation. God has given it to us so that we can understand the future events, the setting up of the millennial kingdom, the eternal state. There is so much in this letter. There is so much for you and I. And that's why it's going to take several years, about 2.5 years, to get through the letter. Well, we got one down. I'm out of time for today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us, and whatever you do, include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, see you in church. You have a blessed week.